It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley, and it's so good to come to you each weekday, sharing with you an encouraging word from the Bible, God's Word. You know, I love the nation of Israel. I've been to Israel 31 times, leading tours to the Holy Land, and there's a city there called Jericho. It's often referred to as the oldest city in the world. And at the time of Joshua, the city walls were so thick that they would host chariot races on top of the walls. God told Joshua that this would be the first city they would take in their conquest of the promised land of Israel. And Joshua sends two agents of his CIA into Jericho to spy out the land. And of all the places for them to stay, these good Jewish boys figured the most unlikely place for them to be found was at the house of ill repute, the home of Rahab the harlot. Now, not exactly the place you and I would want our sons or daughters to visit, but nonetheless, here they are. And it didn't take long till the king of Jericho finds out they're there. And so he sends some agents from his KGB to find them and to pay a visit to Rahab the harlot. So Rahab hides these Jewish spies on her roof. And then she tells a little white lie, if there is such a thing, and she sends the soldiers in the wrong direction, and then they ask her to help them escape, the Jewish spies. So apparently her house was located right on the city walls, and her window overlooked safe passage for the spies to get back to Joshua and the children of Israel. So she takes them up to the window. She takes a scarlet robe for them to climb down the wall, and then she makes her pitch to the spies. Rahab tells the spies, "We have heard about the Lord your God, how he dried up the Red Sea, what he did to those two kings, Sion and Og. He destroyed them." And then she makes an incredible statement of faith. She says this in verse 11 of Joshua chapter 2. She says, "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." Is that incredible? Wow, what a statement of faith. It's no wonder God sent them to Rahab. She believed in Yahweh, the God of the Israelites. Now comes the time for Rahab to help them escape, and they're going to grant her a wish for her help. She could have asked for anything, wealth, land, anything she wanted. What did she ask for? She said in verse 11, she said, "Now therefore," you see that word again, "please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also will deal kindly with my father's household and give me a pledge of truth and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters with all who belong to them and deliver our lives from death." You know what this prostitute wanted more than anything else was for her family to be saved. What a godly request. She could have said, "Take me with you," and that would have meant her family would perish in the destruction of Jericho. She didn't want houses or land, money or wealth. All she wanted was for her family to be saved. Friend, I don't know about you today, but I want my family to be saved and safe in the ark of Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting to me that Rahab chose a scarlet thread from her robe or whatever, and she let the men down the wall. Scarlet is a very unique color. It's not the same as plain old red. Scarlet is the color that represents sin. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 said, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." You see, Isaiah 1 in verse 18 tells us here that scarlet, that color, was the color that represented our sin. Rahab was a Gentile. She's from a pagan people, a people that would soon be utterly destroyed by God and wiped off the map. She was a prostitute, not exactly the job you would want for your daughters to pursue. And yet in the middle of all that's going on in her life, she hears about the God of the Hebrews and she believes. She appeals to these two spies for mercy for her entire family. My friend, do you remember when God brought you out of your life of sin? Do you remember when he caused someone to come across your path that told you about Jesus? You see, God has a way of reaching us right where we are. Even though the Bible names this woman as a harlot, at the same time, when you turn to the Hall of Fame found in Hebrews chapter 11, the Great Hall of Faith, that chapter that lists all the great men and women throughout history that operated in faith, you're going to find Hebrews 11 in verse 31, and it says this: "By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace." In the same chapter that lists Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, and Samuel, all of a sudden you read, "By faith, Rahab the harlot." Listen, friend, when it comes to God's grace and His mercy, it doesn't matter what you did in your past. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you are covered by His blood. And where Rahab had been was not near as important as where she was going. She was about to join the people of promise. Why? Because she believed in God, the God of the children of Israel. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5, when you look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ as recorded by Matthew, it's interesting. He says Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David the king. You see, it's interesting that when you look at the genealogy of Jesus, there included in his genealogy, he's like, "I want that woman, Rahab, to be in the genealogy of my son." Wow. Now let's look again at our story found here in Joshua. In Joshua chapter 2 at verse 17, it says, "The men said to her, 'We shall be free from this oath to which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in your window through which you let us down and gather to yourself into the house your father and mother and your brothers and all your father's household.'" See, they tell Rahab, if you want to be saved, you got to hang this scarlet thread out your window, and you and your family will be saved. Scarlet, the symbol of something much more important in the New Covenant. In the New Covenant, it's a symbol of the blood of Jesus Christ. See, your family will be saved regardless of your background. Rahab was a prostitute. She was morally unfit for the kingdom. She didn't run a day's inn. She ran a house of ill repute. God didn't say, "Lady, you have too much baggage." The two spies did not interrogate her about her past. They listened to her declaration of faith. Neighbor, all of us have a past, and Satan wants to keep you trapped in that past. Maybe you come from a dysfunctional family, and Satan tells you that you're never going to get healed from all the junk of your past. Friend, the scarlet blood of Jesus washes your sins away, and it becomes as white as wool. Scarlet was the color of sin, but white is the color of righteousness. The spies, they honored Rahab's request, and God showed mercy to her and her family. Now, I know we don't go to heaven based on grandma's skirt tails, but listen, God used Rahab and her faithfulness to bring about salvation for her entire family. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I claim Acts 16:31 over my entire family. They said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved and your household." Wow. The scarlet thread, the scarlet cord. I'm so thankful today for that scarlet cord. It was there for Rahab, and it's there for us today. It was there at Passover time when God told the Jews, "Put the blood on the doorposts and on the sides of the door. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." You know, inside of the furniture in the tabernacle and later in the temple, God gave Moses the blueprints for a beautiful box he would build. And he would just request three things to be put in that box, which was called the Ark of the Testimony. First thing was the tablets that God had inscribed, the commandments, and the ones that Moses had broke. Remember, he broke the tablets. And secondly was the Aaron's rod that budded. And the third thing was some of the manna that he fed the Israelites with in the desert for 40 years. On top of the box were two cherubim, these angels. And in the middle was what was called the mercy seat. And that mercy seat, the priest would sprinkle blood on top of the mercy seat. Now think about this. The box that they kept in the presence of God had three things each of which represented three of Israel's biggest failures. The tablets that he had inscribed the Ten Commandments, and when Moses came down from the mountain and Israel was worshiping a golden calf, Moses got so mad that he broke the commandments in half that God had inscribed with his finger. Secondly, was the manna. Now you might be saying, what does the manna have to do with Israel's failures? Remember when they came out of Egypt, they murmured and complained. In Numbers chapter 11, God hears them complaining and he got so angry, he burned up the outer edges of their camp with fire. They complained about their food. They said, we need meat. We don't want to eat any more of this manna. And God said, you complain about the menu. Here's what I'm going to make you do. You eat manna for 40 years, and then you'll appreciate it, and you'll give thanks. And then there was Aaron's rod. The only reason the rod budded was that a man named Korah and some people tried to usurp authority over Moses. And God said, have all your leaders bring a dead stick, and the one that comes to life is my leader. And that's when Aaron's rod budded, and God slew 15,000 of them that day, and Korah was stricken with leprosy. So the three things they kept in the box, the commandments, the manna, and Aaron's rod, would remind Israel that they failed miserably their God. And it would remind God that he was dealing with a flawed people. There but for the grace of God, for his mercy, we would never be saved today. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. See, God keeps this right in front of his presence, that Israel's sins were covered by blood. Friend, when you receive Jesus Christ, all your sin, past, present, and future, have been covered by the blood of Jesus. God looks at you just like he looked at the Ark of the Covenant, and when he looks at you, he sees the blood of Jesus. See, one of my favorite books in the New Testament is Colossians chapter 2. And then my favorite two verses are verses 13 and 14. And I want to share these in closing today. Look what it says. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile towards us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Friend, this is such a powerful verse. When you were dead in your transgressions and in uncircumcision of your flesh, that's when God made you alive. You didn't come to God when you had everything figured out and you were this perfect person that God needed. No, you came to God when you were dead in sin. God looked down and he said, I can use somebody like that because I'll get the glory. And then he made us alive together with him. And I love this next part, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Can I tell you today that Jesus forgave all your sins, past, present, and future? He did it at the cross, friend. How could he do that? It said he canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us. He literally burned the mortgage on your life, the mortgage that sin had acquired on your life with all the failures you had done against God. God said, I'm going to take it out of the way. And the Bible says he nailed it to the cross. I often say that when you read this verse, it sounds like a funny thing happened on the way to the cross. The law got nailed. Jesus nailed the law to the cross. That was the only thing Satan could use against us. 613 commands of which we violated all throughout our life. And God nailed it to the cross. And he gave us forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. He forgave all of our sins. Friend, I so appreciate you joining me today for Fresh Oil. Go by the website at wenedgod.com and drop me a note. Let me know where you're listening to the program.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at wenedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional. He makes his mercies new every morning.